I share my born again experience, and then how I came to Messianic faith, and then how I came to Berit Hadashah. So with that, Heavenly Father, Lord, I praise you and glorify you for how you have worked in my life. I praise that this will be about you, Lord, that this testimony is how you work in my life, Lord, and in the life that you have blessed me with, Lord, that I would decrease, you would increase here, Lord. And again, Heavenly Father, as I share, Lord, a message of hope that you instilled in me, Lord, the message of hope that someone else who is hurting or struggling, Lord, would hear that message of hope. Heavenly Father, if someone is struggling with a burden or a problem, Lord, how you have lifted me up out of the miry clay, I pray this testimony, Lord, will help them see that there is a way up and a way out. By your grace and by your mercy, O Heavenly Father, I again pray that this would be for your glory and for your namesake. Amen. Anyway, for me, I got to go back to the childhood, and it was a good childhood. I mean, it wasn't a bad one, but there was a lot of pain I associated with it. My father passed away. I had a series of traumatic injuries. I led the family with stitches and emergency room time. And as I grew, it just seemed I was always that square peg trying to fit into a round world. I just never seemed to fit in, either because of injuries or because I didn't have a dad or for whatever reason. It was just a painful way of growing up. And then, of course, having to wear glasses when glasses weren't common and having to wear braces on your teeth, physical pain. And just as you're into adolescence, it's just kind of a painful time, a target, especially with a last name like Urena. The kids weren't very kind. So again, I just associated childhood with a lot of pain, but also too, being raised Catholic, that God punishes sin. And when I got spanked, I equated pain, punishment. And since I was always in a source of pain, I equated that to God was always punishing me. So I rebelled. And I just, like I said, the square peg fitting in a round hole. I found alcohol and drugs in late adolescent, early teenage years. And those seemed to ease the pain. They eased the suffering. And they knocked those sharp edges off this square peg so that I fit into things a little easier. And I was off and running. I didn't want to hear anything about God. I didn't have anything to do for him. He didn't work for me in my younger days. He wasn't going to work for me in my adolescence, in my teenage years. And that became a recreational way of life for me. I then took on a life of its own. And, you know, and it just kind of, you know, it just progressed all the way down through my early adolescence into my early 30s. A lot of this happened back in Ohio, and I moved to California, and I sought out my friends, alcohol and drugs, and places I can go, and those were my friends I ran with for 20 years, to a point where it just wasn't working anymore. The more I did, the worse I felt. The worse I felt, the more I did, and I was in that downward cycle because I didn't know anything else. And again, I had all those people helping me along the way. It was just those people I hung out with. Misery loves company, and we were all miserable. Anyway, I had a night that I call a winking out. I was kind of like enveloped in darkness. Now, I had passouts, I had blackouts before. I knew those experiences, but this one was very different. It was like just being enveloped in blackness, a winking out. And then as I came to, it could have been 5 seconds, 15 seconds. I don't know the time. It was just, again, just something that scared me and freaked me out. And I had an old yellow lab at the time, and he was giving me that RCA Victor dog look, like he was looking at me, and he knew something was wrong. I knew something was wrong. You know, the alcohol and drugs weren't working. I couldn't do enough anymore. But on the TV was a commercial for There Is Hope, was the message on the commercial. I was scared enough, and whatever powers be, the spirit within me, God, guardian angel, I picked up that phone. And I called that establishment, and I admitted to the nurse, as I was talking to the nurse, that I had a problem and I needed help. And as I did that, a weight seemed to lift off of me as I admitted that I needed help. And again, with my mentality of God punishing me, everything good happening in my life I had worked for. Everything bad, God had punished me. And that was my mentality, my subconscious mentality. I just didn't realize I was an example of poor workmanship. So again, as I admitted that I had help, I made a few more phone calls. I called my brother. I called my supervisor at work. And I'm here to tell you the devil is a liar. Where I had told myself, or he had told me, that you got yourself into this, you're going to have to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You're going to have to get yourself out of it. Every time that I admitted I had a problem and I was thinking whatever it was, I was on my own, that it was a lie. My brother was there to help me. He's a CPA, and calling him in February, March, and him taking time out to take me to this establishment was quite an ordeal for him. And to have to deal with a family issue when he's doing taxes for big clients and everything was quite an ordeal for him. But he was there. What do I need to do to help you, John? My supervisor was there. What do we need to do to help you? My employer stood behind me. So I'm here to tell you the devil is a liar. I had the hand of help. And as I went to this facility, I was reintroduced, and for whatever reason, the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And when I saw God up on the wall on the 12 steps, immediately the old God came forward again. Full shields at full power, Scotty. We're not going to deal with this God, because my association with God, again, was the punishing God, and he couldn't help me. So as I lay there one night, I was doing the oh gods, oh gods, oh gods, and have I been this big of a jerk? Have I been this big of an ass? Have I been this big, you know? And I kept hearing an affirmative yes. Yes, you have. But I also, too, had a sense of, but it's going to be okay this time. It's going to be okay this time. So in one of those nights when I was laying in bed at this facility, they have a little chapel area. They have a little chapel area, a little room, and they had one of those big tome Bibles. You know, that's one of those big flower press Bibles. And it was open to something as I went in there, and it was about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I was, like I said, restless, irritable, discontent, and doing the oh gods and trying to figure out what was happening. It was open to something. The Bible was open to something, and I started reading it. It didn't make any sense. It didn't register with me, and I did the Bible roulette thing. I put it on the back of its spine. I don't know if I prayed or asked God for a sign, but I let the Bible fall open to where it will. And I started reading. It was Jeremiah 18 at the potter's house. And they talk about having a key to willingness. They talk about having a key to, again, just dealing with things. Again, the key of willingness to allow God to work or to allow the program to work. And as I read that passage, it is, go down to the potter's house, go down to the chapel, John. And as the potter is as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are ye in my hands. Can't I remake you as the potter reworks the clay? And all the inhibitions within me, all the resistance, all the defiance, all the rebelliousness just seemed to melt away. I just said, okay, Lord. And as I read the rest of the passage, and I have read it several times since then, and it doesn't read the same as I read that day, but he was going to deal with all my other worldly issues. All I had to do was submit to him and allow him to begin to work in my life. That was 20-some years ago. I'll be 21 years of continuous sobriety this coming March. And it's all by his grace. It's all by his mercy. It's how he works in my life and going through that. And it's been a wonderful journey since then. And that's my born-again experience. Did I accept Jesus? I don't know. I just allowed God back into my life because, like I said, I had a Catholic upbringing. I was aware of God, but I had that punishing hellfire brimstone God. Today I have a loving, compassionate, caring God. And I dearly love him because now when I read in the beginning, John was void and waste, but then he spoke, let there be light. I can take scripture now and personally relate myself into these scriptures. He has given me a wonderful gift. When I read the story of the Egyptians coming out of their slavery and bondage, I can see that now and apply it to my life personally. So God has given me a wonderful thirst and hunger for his word, and he has given me a wonderful way to apply it and also to hopefully share it with others. So again, God just is an incredible God, and he has given me a second chance at things. And that's my born-again story. Again, I have totally given to him. I pray. You see me doing a lot of service work. That's my prayer. I still pray that prayer every morning. God, you are the potter. I am the clay. Make me a vessel in thy service. That's almost every day I'm looking for service opportunities to help my fellow man some way, some capacity, either with a word or an action or a deed. So again, I just give God the praise and the glory for how he continues to use me to take me from a rebellious, don't want nothing to do with to now this. And again, I have family now. I'm welcome back into my family again. We have wonderful times with the family and things. So that's my born-again story. That's the first part of it. So, well, shout it out, Stan. You're supposed to help me out here. But anyway, how I came to Messianic faith. I switched radio stations. When I was out there drinking and using and working, I would listen to rock and roll. And when I got sober, I was still listening to those rock and roll stations, but I found myself getting agitated and worked up, just getting mad and angry, and I was still dealing with anger issues. I was a rageaholic too. And you wouldn't believe it by looking at me, but I used to be angry at the world. But one day I started listening to Christian talk radio. And then after lifting that for a while, I heard Dr. Charles Houff of the Christian Jew Foundation. It's now the Christian Jew Foundation. Back then it's Messianic Perspectives, and I believe the radio program is still today Messianic Perspectives. But he was doing the fallacies of Easter. So as you're listening to the radio all day long, you're hearing all the secular or all these other pastors and preachers and radio personalities giving one perspective on Easter, and that was the Easter I grew up with. And then you had Dr. Charles Houff kind of going, no, this isn't this, this is this, this, and it challenged me. It challenged me on what I was reading, and he was a big proponent of Acts 17:11 to be more noble than the rest. but to gladly accept what you hear, but search the scriptures daily to see if these things are so. So I started searching the scriptures as far as what his presentation, I found it to be so. I found his messianic perspective to be so. And I found that now the scriptures started making sense. Instead of being 66 books and stories of different natures or whatever, it all started making sense. It all started coming together. Genesis to Revelation is one book. And having a messianic or a Jewish perspective on the scriptures helps bring those together. And so I have been pursuing that for several years. I pursued that on my own. Arnold Fruchtenbaum and Dr. Charles Half, David Hawking, several other radio announcers and radio personalities and authors, I started studying and reading on my own. And then I looked online. I figured I can't keep doing this by myself. I need more. The pastors I was working with, the churches I was involved with, were very receptive of the perspective, but they weren't nurturing. They didn't know how to nurture or incorporate that. So I went online and looked at Messianic congregations, and I didn't find Berit Hadashah, but I did find Berit Ahava. And so I went down and started being with Berit Ahava, and I really loved it because they do a more orthodox liturgy. And so it was fun doing the prayers. It was fun doing Hebrew prayers and it was fun dialoguing because we did shul and we all shared and chimed in on what we were reading, and we were doing the parasha, we were going through the Torah and doing the Torah readings and all. So it was fun. It was exciting. But it's a long way to drive to Livermore every Saturday. So it's starting to take a toll on me. But what happened is I was introduced to MJAA. We went to a conference down there, and this is how I ended up here at Berit Hadashah. As I met a lady, she was shopping people. She sells jewelry, but if you've ever been to the Middle East and you've been to their bazaars or doing, they shop you. They shop you. You don't shop them. They shop you. And she was shopping people out in the lobby in a big bazaar kind of way. Shops and people peddling their fares and things like that. And it's a wonderful time, wonderful people. But she was shopping people, and she was trying to get me to buy some jewelry. And I'm sorry, a watch, and that's my jewelry. And I actually have a lapel pin I got from Yad Vashem. And I know I'm running long, but I'm going to quit it here. But it was Marceline. And then those of you who've been here long enough or whatever like that, Marceline. And she found out I lived in Martinez, and she was right here in this area before she moved to Israel. So we exchanged information, and she told me about Berit Hadashah. And then one night she calls me. I think it was a Thursday night, or it might have even been a Friday night, where they're meeting tonight. They're meeting tonight or tomorrow night. And so I came. I came here. I enjoyed the music. I enjoyed Galen's teachings. And I have been participating since then. That's been, five years ago or whatever like that. So I've been here since then. Wonderful teaching, wonderful fellowship. As I get to know you all and you all get to know me, I just dearly love the opportunity to share and to partake and do these things. And again, to be a servant in God's hands and to be a servant for him and for you all. So again, that's my born-again testimony. And again, I can always elaborate and go further into it. That's my How I Came to Messianic Faith story, again, by Dr. Charles Half, and I still support that ministry. His widow is still with us. He has since gone home. And I continue to support Galen and Dawn Peterson here at Berit Hadashah and support you all. One thing in closing, we as elders are going to try to get together on a monthly basis or try to coordinate to do some things to see how we can best help Galen and Dawn and take up some leadership responsibilities, as well as pray for you all and make ourselves available for you all. And we will be praying for you all, but I will ask that you all pray for us. Because as we step into positions of servant, the adversary likes to raise up his attacks and likes to raise his efforts against us to thwart our efforts of getting together, to thwart our efforts from praying for you, to thwart our efforts. So I'm just going to ask that you would pray for us as we pray for you all. And again, I thank you for the time and the privilege to share. Again, God's a wonderful God, and if he's done it for me, he can certainly do it for any of you if he hasn't already. So thank you for that, and thank you for the time, and